You are Locked On Phillies, your daily Philadelphia Phillies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and find one of our Locked On rooms. Spotify Green Room, it's changing the way we talk sports. How's it going, everyone? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast. I, of course, am your host, Dan Wilson, coming to you on Friday, September the 24th, 2021, on a day after the Phillies come back from a six-run deficit against the Pittsburgh Pirates. They were down 6-0. Aaron Nola certainly did not have his best stuff yet again. This is seeming like it's just going to become the norm for Aaron Nola. We'll get to a little bit of that, recapping this game, this week, this wild week, and this wild month, really, that it has been for the Philadelphia Phillies, as well as get into, you know, some playoff scenarios and what's coming up this weekend as well. But I did want to start with the current state of the Phillies, and that is today, Friday, September 24th, feels like it's the most important day. I mean, every day is getting increasingly important. And at this point in the season, and this just feels like it's maybe the most important day thus far of the Phillies season for a variety of reasons. Not just because the Phillies are playing the Pirates, but because out west in San Diego, the Braves have a chance to swing this NL East race dramatically here today, depending on how they play. They are finishing up a 7-inning doubleheader tonight at 8 o'clock. Not a 7-inning doubleheader, a 7-inning doubleheader game. It's a little bit weird. They're in the middle of the 5th inning. They're up by a run. The Padres are on the Atlanta Braves. They have to finish a 7-inning game, and then they're going to play a 9-inning game, which is going to be on national TV, on ESPN, by the way, which I'll certainly be locked into and will certainly be a fun watch, especially if the Phillies take care of business at 7 o'clock. So, with the Phillies standing just 2 games back in the National League East as of right now, and that is really their only route into the postseason at this point. You take a look at the wild card standings, the Cardinals essentially running away with that at this point. They're in the second spot. The Phillies, just one team behind them, but they're 4.5 out. That doesn't seem like a viable option to get into the playoffs at this current juncture. So it's all about the NL East. It's all about those Atlanta Braves and catching them and putting yourself in a position to make up some serious ground heading into the next week. And of course, the Phillies, none of this is going to matter if they don't take care of business in Atlanta head-to-head next week, or if they can't take care of business better than they have in recent memory down in Miami. But one game at a time, one day at a time here. Phillies 2 games out as of today, Friday, September 24th. By the end of tonight and into the early hours of Saturday morning, because the game will be played on the West Coast, the Phillies could be as close as a half game out. They could be 3.5 games out. They could, or basically anything in between. But that is the range. They could be within a half game of the National League East. As infuriating as this season has been, as annoying as this season has been, as many games as the Phillies have given away this season, and whether you think they deserve to be there in this position or not, because I'll tell you, it sure as hell doesn't feel like it. It really, really feels like they're just hanging on for your dear life. But that's my overall theme of today's episode. The Phillies won last night, down 6 runs, and came back to win 12-6. This is the third time this month. The third time this month, the Phillies have been down 6 runs in a game and come back to win. And in a number of those games, 2 of those games actually, last Thursday versus the Cubs, and then you go back to last night against the Pirates, those are games they ended up winning handedly by 6 or more runs. Like, the offense just took a little bit to get going, but once the offense got going, the team really showed up. And again, not against the greatest teams, the Cubs and Pirates, but it's about taking care of business with the team in front of you. This stat courtesy of Jason Stark and Elias Sports, and I thought this was really, really interesting. The Phillies have now won 3 games this month after trailing by at least 6 runs. The only other team to do that in any calendar month, not just September, but in any other calendar month in the history of baseball, was the Pop Corkill managed 1884 Cincinnati Reds of the late, not the great, American Association, as Jason Stark put it. That is an incredible stat. This team, for as annoying as they are, as annoying as I have found the manager to be, as annoying as I have found watching basically just about every guy on this roster play at some point this season, with the exception of mostly Zach Wheeler and Bryce Harper, who we're going to get to later in this episode, because what he is doing for me right now, with a little more than a week to go in the season, Bryce Harper is my National League MVP, flat out. Bryce Harper, in my opinion, is going to win the National League MVP, an award that no Philly has won in 14 years since Jimmy Rollins did in 2007 to complete the back-to-back with Ryan Howard in 2006. Bryce Harper is, you know, many people believe overpaid. If you listen to the fans in any opposing ballpark, overrated. That comes with the territory. He gets booed everywhere he goes. But one thing that he deserves none of, and I mean zero of, if the Phillies miss the playoffs by a game or two here, which, by the way, in my opinion, is still the most likely scenario, Bryce Harper deserves zero of this blame. And I mean zero of this blame. He is the primary reason, and some would argue the only reason, it feels like on some nights, that the Phillies are where they are. He is making about as much impact on an offensive lineup as you can, a lineup that lost Rhys Hoskins, a lineup that most nights at the bottom end of it, you're saying these guys have zero chance to get a hit. You're overexposing guys like Ronald Torres over the course of the season. He's been horrible in September, but comes up with a huge, huge pinch hit home run last night. Bryce Harper, whether it's willing to take three walks a game like he did last night, getting pitched around, or whenever they do leave him that one pitch to hit, just hitting it out of the ballpark, or getting clutch hit after clutch hit after clutch hit. Bryce Harper is the primary reason the Phillies are where they are. And the argument that I thought might have worked against him, which is that it looked like the Padres were going to go to the postseason and the Phillies were not, and that would have been a reason to vote for Fernando Tatis Jr., is not even going to stand true. The Padres are going to miss the playoffs. If you look at the wildcard standings right now, the Padres are six games out, and of course they have no shot at that divisional race between the Giants and the Dodgers. They're just so far ahead of everybody in that division. So the Padres aren't going to go to the playoffs. Juan Soto has actually climbed ahead of Fernando Tatis in OPS. The Nationals sure as hell aren't going to the playoffs. It's quite possible that, especially if the Phillies get into the playoffs, Bryce Harper is the easy choice for the National League MVP. So that's my overall themes of today. We'll talk more about the Bryce MVP case a little bit later on here. We will get more into just how much fight this team has and just how exciting it is that despite all the annoying things about this Phillies team, they're two back with nine to play with three games in hand against the Atlanta Braves. At the very least, they could force a one-game playoff scenario, which would be on Tuesday because the Braves have to make up a game with the Rockies on Monday. And we'll get into all of that later in the show. Exciting times, including recapping the week that has been here for the Philadelphia Phillies. But first, I have to tell you about Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's something for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors by now, you're certainly missing out. There's coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. If you haven't tried all the flavors by now, you can get that mixed box where you'll get two of each of those nine flavors. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they are healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging 130 to 180, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Again, amazing flavors, all tasty, and they're all healthy too. Go to Built.com, use that promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, use that promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your first order. One last time, promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. Also have to tell you about Spotify Green Room. This episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'll be hosting rooms for Locked On Phillies once a week. Yes, you can finally join in on the conversation, the same conversation you listen to here every single day. Go download the free Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. I know you'll find a ton of incredible rooms around your favorite teams and leagues. I can't wait to join you all in the app. I'll be sure to let you know when the Locked On Phillies room is live. Download the Green Room app today. Green Room, it's changing the way we talk sports. So I wanted to get back into kind of recapping this week that has been here for the Philadelphia Phillies, really this entire month, because, you know, whether it's crossing over with different hosts in the Locked On Podcast Network here, or, you know, crossing over with Destiny Legardo from Phillies Nation, you know, I've had a little bit of a weird schedule here in September, as have the Phillies. And this is weird September baseball for you folks. The Phillies just having a chance. I've always believed, anyone who's listened to this podcast knows, that even though I have not been a believer in the Phillies to make the playoffs, I have not been a believer in the sentiment that this easy schedule will get them in because they don't take care of business, that the Phillies will be in it until the very end. And by the way, shout out to the Diamondbacks yesterday, coming back with a huge comeback. I mean, this Diamondbacks team obviously has nothing to play for. They have 104 losses on the year. But a 5-run seventh inning turning a potential 4-1 loss into a 6-4 win, certainly helping the Phillies out, getting a win over those Atlanta Braves for a second there. It looked like the microcosm of the season was going to be, well, the Braves go to Arizona and they find a way to sweep them in what was a 4-game series, by the way, right? Like yesterday was a Thursday game, was a day game in Arizona. But Atlanta had been playing there since Monday. They had won the first 3 games. It looked like they were going to win all 4. And, of course, you remember when the Phillies went to Arizona, they lost all 3. And, you know, when you look at the end of the season and say, well, what went wrong? Why did the Phillies miss? If the Phillies missed by 2 or 3 games, obviously it comes down to the entirety of the season. But that seemed like it was going to be an easy, you know, thing you could point to. And then the Braves, again, still won 3 out of 4 in Arizona. The Phillies still lost all 3 in Arizona. And, man, you'd like to have at least 1, 2, if not all 3 of those games back. The offense just going completely silent. But that's nothing new. We know that this Phillies team has a tendency to do that, whether it's doing that or losing 2 of 3 to the Miami Marlins in Miami in early September over Labor Day weekend, and you hope things go differently next weekend, not this coming weekend, but the following weekend down in Miami at Lone Depot Park. Whether it's losing 3 of 4 to the Colorado Rockies at home, you go back to early April when they lost 2 of 3 to the Colorado Rockies in April. Like, time and time again, the reason why I've never bought into this scheduling idea is that the Phillies just oftentimes don't take care of business against the teams in front of them. And it seems like the Braves do. Like, the Braves have found a way that when they have, and they've had an easy schedule down the stretch as well, like the 5th easiest schedule in baseball, I think, since August 1st, the Phillies had the easiest. And, you know, that's really where the Braves have taken their lead. After the Phillies had that winning streak, after they swept, they won that one game in Pittsburgh, they swept the Nationals, and they had that 3-game series win, a sweep rather, at home against the New York Mets when the ballpark was lively and everyone was showing up again. The Phillies really have kind of went in a very straight decline, and the Braves have taken over and really haven't relinquished it ever since, which has been an interesting dynamic in the National League East all season, because the Mets were leading the division for basically the first 4 months of the season. Then it was the Phillies for, like, you know, a hot minute there. It was like a week. And now you're straight into the Braves leading the National League East. But the Phillies here, there's no quit in this team. And that is something that is really good to see. As dislikable as this team has been, I will say that this team, no matter how hard they get punched straight in the mouth, they always get back up and fight. And, you know, I don't want to be this guy who's like, well, all you can ask for is a chance at the end. I mean, obviously you want to have a chance at the end, but for the expectations, not that I personally had at the beginning of the season, you know, I never really believed this Phillies team was a playoff team, but the expectations that comes with, you know, the contracts they've handed out and some of the self-imposed expectations just of the timeline of this team, like, you got to find any way you can to end this 10-year playoff drought, right? So if they have a chance here, I mean, their work's cut out for them. As weird as it sounds, the Phillies right now is a Friday, September 24th, and this has been true ever since right around 6:30 last night when the Diamondbacks sealed their win in Arizona over the Atlanta Braves. The Phillies control their own destiny. Like, the Phillies, theoretically, if they won out, would not need help from anybody else. Now, I don't think anyone is buying that the Phillies are going to go 9-0 here down the stretch. That would be a 12-game winning streak, a remarkable 12-game winning streak to end the season. But the Phillies, I got to give credit to where credit is due. Do not quit. Even when they're down, you cannot count them out. Regardless of whether the Pirates are playing cornhole in the bullpen, or regardless of how much these other teams care, scoring, coming back from 6 runs is coming back from 6 runs, and that is an impressive feat to notice. And one more thing, I do have to give a shout-out to a guy I've been very critical of all season long, which is manager Joe Girardi last night had a very, very good sequence. And I mentioned the Ronald Torres home run that gave the Phillies the lead for good. But there was an interesting managerial chess kind of back and forth here in the bottom of the sixth inning last night. So the Phillies, in case you missed the game, were down by a score of 6-0 as of the middle of the third inning. They put up a 5-spot, get a big rally in the bottom of the third. It was 6-5. And then it was kind of a standstill offensively until the bottom of the sixth, when it brings us to a sequence of, well, JT Realmuto did not start last night. And by the way, that has contributed to the lack of offensive production. By the way, I would rather have, you know, Rafael Marchand on this roster playing instead of Andrew Knapp. But the fact that you have Andrew Knapp catching as many games as you've had because Realmuto is dealing with, it still seems like, the shoulder injury that has been lurking for a few weeks now, it is definitely concerning. Realmuto's bat has actually been getting hotter here down the stretch. I mean, if they're going to need him in the lineup, whether it's catcher, first base, whatever the case is. In my opinion, they cannot afford to not have JT Realmuto in the lineup right now, especially because the alternative is Andrew Knapp. And you might even still need to have Andrew Knapp in some cases in addition to Realmuto. So anyway, Realmuto comes into pinch hit. He leads off the inning with a single. Now, Freddie Galvis grounds out to the second baseman. Realmuto moves up to second base. It was not a tailor-made double play ball. And Didi Gregorius grounds out to the second baseman. That moves Realmuto up to third base. So you got two outs, tying run on third base. And this brings up the eight hitter, which in this case was a pinch hitter in Matt Vierling. Matt Vierling was pinch hitting for Andrew Knapp. So they had, Realmuto had been pinch hitting for Brad Miller. He goes in, Vierling comes in. I mean, it's kind of a switch of positions. You know, the catcher pinch hitting for the first baseman. Vierling eventually became the first baseman pinch hitting for the catcher. And interesting move by Derek Shelton, the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates. He decides to walk Vierling to get to the pitcher spot. You know, this is National League Baseball. This is why I like it. It's something we're not going to see in all likelihood past this year. But he walks Matt Vierling to basically force Girardi's hand, get to the pitcher spot, knocks Nola out of the game, who at this point had gone six innings. I won't say six innings strong because he allowed six runs. Eight strikeouts, but only 84 pitches. Probably had another inning or two. Had really settled in at this point. And Shelton forcing a guy who allowed six runs, but then, you know, was shutting the Pirates lineup down the next time through the order, out of the game, get into that Phillies bullpen, right? So he walks Matt Vierling intentionally, which brings up Ronald Torres, yet another pinch hitter who, he pinch hits for Aaron Nola, taking a bit of a chance, knowing he's going to need nine outs from his bullpen. Still a one-run game at this point. And Ronald Torres, it's a three-run home run. I will give credit where credit is due. I'm not just someone who criticizes the manager when things go wrong. This was a calculated risk and a managerial back-and-forth chess match in a National League game between a manager who's entirely out of it and Joe Girardi, who sometimes when they show him in the dugout looks like he's been to hell and back, still giving everything he has to try and win games for the Philadelphia Phillies down the stretch here. And this paid off. That Ronald Torres three-run home run gave the Phillies the lead for good. They take the lead 8-6. Realmuto, who was a pinch hitter earlier in the game, homers his next time up in the bottom of the seventh. That made it 10-6. Realmuto hit another two-run single in the bottom of the eighth, 12-6. So basically, seven runs came off the bat in this game of guys who weren't even starting the game, and it all got sparked by that bottom of the sixth inning. I thought it was a really, really good managerial sequence for Girardi. I'm not just saying that in hindsight bias. He needed the offense there. Nola gave you six innings, and at that point, you're just hoping he can eat some more innings so your bullpen doesn't have to go, you know, too drastically into this game. You got a solid night out of the bullpen, a scoreless inning from Archie Bradley, a scoreless inning from Jose Alvarado, a scoreless inning from Bailey Falter. It was a really, really solid sequence. I'll also say the Phillies showed some fight this week after losing game one of the Orioles, and they really had to grind out an extra innings win on Tuesday night with a Realmuto shot to right field, again, to win that game 3-2 after the offense had been dead. And then they squeeze out a win down to the wire in the top of the ninth inning on Wednesday night against the Baltimore Orioles. This team does not make it easy on themselves. They certainly always make it interesting, but the sum of all parts is the Phillies are right there. So that is where I'm at. I don't want to say I'm optimistic they're going to do it, but you know, I'm excited. I care because, frankly, I don't know how you couldn't at this current point. Final segment of the Locked On Phillies podcast coming right up, where, again, I'm going to hit one more thing on the Bryce Harper MVP case, as well as kind of give the outlook on the weekend and next week with the Philadelphia Phillies. But first, I have to tell you about DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. This means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. It's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. So coming up in the final three games this weekend, again, huge day for the Phillies today. Phillies Pirates, it'll be Sam Howard for the Pirates coming in with 580 ERA. Pirates not exactly a great team at this point. Again, they were playing cornhole in the bullpen. Not sure exactly how much they care. It'll be Kyle Gibson, who has struggled as of late for the Phillies, going in the Friday night game. On Saturday, it'll be Will Crow for the Pirates, Ranger Suarez for the Phillies. And then on Sunday, on Fan Appreciation Day, it'll be a bullpen game for the Philadelphia Phillies, which they've actually fared quite well in. August 1st, when Matt Moore, Adonis Medina, or just a flat-out bullpen game is pitched, so basically the five spot in the rotation, the Phillies are 7-2, and it's amazing that, you know, they find ways, the offense finds ways to show up in those games, but they have. And ironically, as of the other day, they were 6-3 in Zach Wheeler starts. They get the win the other day in the game against Baltimore, so they're now 7-3, but they've basically been slightly better win percentage-wise, or at the very least just as good in bullpen games or in five spot in the rotation games as they've been in Zach Wheeler games. So just a wild baseball team, wild that we're at this point. The sum of all parts is two games back with nine to play. Exciting stuff here for the Phillies, and just I'm glad that baseball is still relevant and counts here down the stretch. One last thing on the Bryce Harper MVP case, because I mentioned, you know, kind of his competition here at this point. All of the factors, my overall point is this. The overall factors that have worked against him or that would work against him, I think have kind of gone by the wayside at this point. First of all, he's leading all of baseball, not just, you know, the National League, all of baseball in OPS with 1,050 OPS. That is a full 21 percentage points higher, or 0.21 percentage points higher, you know what I'm saying. 1.050 OPS for Harper, 1.029 OPS for Juan Soto, who definitely will not be in the playoffs. Fernando Tatis is now down below 1,000. And if you really wanted to compare, you know, like rounded numbers, right, like home runs, RBI total. So Harper's coming in at 33-80 as of right now. And you think about how much he struggled early in the season just to drive in runs because it felt like no one was on for him ever. Well, Tatis is going to finish with a little bit more. He's got 40 home runs and 94 RBIs. But that, if you remember where that gap was even like a month or two ago, it was way more drastic. It looked like the Padres were going to the playoffs. The Phillies were not. I would have bought the Tatis as the MVP argument at that point. Right now, I think it's got to go to Bryce Harper. Certainly, the goal is to make the playoffs. He would tell you that. He would trade a playoff berth for that MVP crown. But it is certainly really cool that this Phillies team, as infuriating as they've been, has a lot of really cool things working around, a lot of cool storylines around it. And the fact that Harper wasn't even an all-star and he's put together such a ridiculous second half, he's going to be the National League MVP. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, on Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow me on Twitter at Dan_Wilson4. Follow the podcast on Twitter at LO_Phillies. Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag wherever you get your podcasts.